want to start this morning, just give you a little background as to where this message comes from. The last 4 or 5 weeks for me have been extremely difficult. Between this stupid flu or whatever it is I've had, some other issues that have come up, I found myself becoming more angry than normal. And anger is an issue I deal with all the time. And God's been putting people in my life to check me on it. Barb Evans can tell you what's the first thing when someone makes me angry I want to do, Barb? I want to punch him in the face, right? And Barb, every time I say it, she gives me that little look if she's around. Thank you for that, by the way. But as I've been preparing, and God's been doing some things in my life and causing me to deal with anger, causing me to deal with my feelings towards other people. And when Pastor Dan told me he was going to be away and asked me to preach to this week, I had something complete. I was, okay, I'm going to go in this direction. And then he reminded me it was communion. And I went, oh, great, it's communion. That sounds terrible, but I had something that fit nothing to do with communion. So I began and I went back to the communion passage and I began to read and God began to deal with some things. And I'm not perfect in this. So I said something about 3 weeks ago, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm not the least bit proud of it. But it was probably one of the most hateful things I could ever say about anybody. And I justified it in my mind. I justified it because it was about Justin Trudeau. And I said, this man does not serve God. This man is anti-God in many ways. And so I justified it. And God gave me this little poke in the side and said, we're told to love. We're told to pray for our leaders. And I said, yeah, but God, it's Justin Trudeau. It's Kathleen Wynne. These people don't get you. And they're leading us in the wrong direction. And God said, I told you to love them. So that's where this message comes out of. And please don't ask me after the service what I said, because like I say, I won't tell you it was that bad. A few of our young adults know what I said. Don't ask them neither, please. But the title of my message this morning is, Who Do You Love? And you'll understand as we go through why I equate this with communion. But who do we love? Do we love ourselves? Do we love God? Do we love others? And I'm not jumping to there in my message yet, Tasha. But who do you love? And I think way too often we only, even as believers, only love one person. And that's ourselves. We put our best interests ahead of others. We put our best interests ahead of God. And it's a scary place. But the question, first of all, we need to understand is, what does it mean to love? Our world has all kinds of wacky ideas on love. I did a wedding 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago now. Actually, 2 weeks ago today. And as I was preparing the wedding, the bride had asked me to do this mushy, lovey-dovey service. And I struggled. That is not my personality at all. So I was like, oh God, how do I do this and make this what she wants? And yet still reflect the views of Christian love. And so I did research and I came up with, oh, some of this stuff was so sick and sappy and sweet. It made me want to vomit. You can all ask Kim. I'm not that mushy, you know. I'm never going to write a greeting card. Not what I'm going to do. And most of it wasn't even biblically or true to what love is. So I went back with them with this couple to what Scripture tells us about love. And this is read at almost every wedding you've ever been at. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting at verse 4, it says this: love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Wow. Some of us need to learn from that one. And it keeps no record of being wronged. There's another place to really look at. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I've highlighted, underlined, and changed colors there. Most of these things are very, very easy for us to understand. Patience. Now, we may understand love is patient, but any of you who are married out there know love isn't always patient. And kind, another easy one. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Anybody feeling a little guilty right now? It does not demand its own way. That's one that is really, really crucial. Love doesn't demand what I need. It demands what's best for the person we love. And that includes how we love God. How many of us want to love? We love that scripture. God will give you the desires of your heart. It's right there in scripture. You know how many times I've had that quoted to me completely wrong and out of context? God will give us the desires of our heart when our hearts are right with His. So it's not about getting our own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Whose love does that sound like? That sounds like Jesus. He came, keeps no record of our sins. Rejoices in truth, never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful. That's what true love is. But our world has kind of twisted love up and distorted it and got it wrong. I am so sick of hearing love and acceptance. That's not love. If I truly love somebody and they are doing wrong, I cannot accept that. I'm a parent. I don't think I ever had any of my kids do this, but maybe Josiah, because he was kind of crazy. But try to stick something in the light socket. But I've seen it. You know, kid gets hold of a penny, wants to stick it in the light socket. What are you going to do as a loving parent? You're going to let them stick it in the... I accept what they do. No, you're going to go over there. You're going to slap that penny or fork or whatever it is out of their hand. Don't climb that tree. You see them climbing. What are you going to do? You're going to go grab them. And I'm not talking here about bubble wrapping our kids and not letting them have fun. But if you know something is a danger, out of love, you're going to deal with it. So this love and acceptance garbage that our world spews, well, if you love me, you have to accept everything I do. Really? If I love you and you're addicted to heroin, I have to accept that? No. I have to love you and get you the help you need. So let's not get love wrong to begin with. You want a scriptural idea of love? Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But my question today is, as we started, was who do you love? So the first question for all of us is, do you love God? Do you love God? When we go back to that definition, do we put God ahead of our own needs? Do we hold God accountable when he doesn't do exactly what we want? Do we lose faith in him? Anybody but me ever been there? Am I the only one? I don't think so. But do we love God? What does Scripture tell us we need to do? If we go back to the story where Jesus, they were trying to catch him up by asking him, what is the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus reply in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37? It says this, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The first thing, there's only two commandments that Jesus mentions, and we're going to get to the other one in a few minutes. But the first and greatest is love God. We need to love God. Without loving God, we can't even get into the next steps, which is loving each other, loving our neighbor. And I won't give the last one away because that's the toughest one on the bunch. But we need to love God. And if we love God, we are going to live according to what he desires for us. Because what are we doing? We're putting him ahead of us. I learned all about that as I was kind of preparing this message. I've always said forgiveness is easy. You just choose to do it and you do it. And God will help you. And he does. But during this, about 8 weeks ago, one of my former young people messages me on Facebook Messenger. And she does this about once every so many months. And she really struggles. And she was struggling to forgive. And some pretty harsh things. And she says to me, Pastor Paul, I just read in the Bible where if I don't forgive others, I'm not going to be forgiven. And I went, yes. That was my great theological answer. Yes. She goes, but I can't. I said, why not? And this went on. We probably text back and forth for about 25, 30 minutes. And finally, I put it to her. I said, listen, this is what helps me when I'm struggling to forgive. I say to myself, Jesus forgave me even though I'm the one who murdered him. And that's a harsh way of putting it, I get it. But it's not. If only I was guilty, Jesus would go to the cross for me. So I put him there. And yet he forgave me. At which point, this conversation kind of stopped. So I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad. Actually, she's talked to me since, and she's doing much better. But forgiveness is part of loving God. He forgave us. We need to forgive others. So I told that story about 3 weeks ago now. Someone who hurt me very badly 5 years ago. I was sitting in Pastor Dan's office, and I got a message, again, through Facebook Messenger. I'm going, who is this? Because it wasn't a name I recognized. And it turns out it was the person who had, you know, basically booted me out of his life 5 years earlier, apologizing to me. And all of a sudden God said, now are you going to forgive? And I had to, I'm going to tell you, at that moment in time, I was not ready. Because I'd always said, oh, I've forgiven this person. If he ever called me up and said, let's go for coffee, I'd do that. Then it happened. And I had to make a decision. Was I willing to phone this person and have a conversation with them? But loving God means doing what God would what he would want me to do. Therefore, I had to put my own interests aside in order to show the love of Christ. And I don't say that because I'm any great person. It's just, if we're going to love God, he needs to come first. That's why Jesus says it's the first and greatest commandment. Because everything else will flow out of it. So my second question today is, do you love your Christian family? This one's a little hard. I think the loving God one is probably the easiest of the bunch. Because we know how much he loves us. This one gets a little harder. Anybody ever been hurt by someone who claims to be a Christian? Okay. Exactly. Plenty. That's the exact answer. But we're a family here. And I'm not only talking here. I'm talking, do we love our brothers and sisters at the Baptist church down the street and at the Presbyterian church? And, you know, there's good Christian people in the United Church and the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church. And for years, we've wanted to, as churches, just separate ourselves from them because, well, they don't believe like us. We've got to love our Christian brothers and sisters. And again, this is where some of the other stuff from 1 Corinthians comes in. Being patient and kind. Not jealous, boastful, proud. Here's one. Not being rude. Sometimes I think we think in the church we can be rude to one another because, well, you have to forgive me anyways. Irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. Is that an ouch to anybody other than me? But do we love our Christian family? And why is that so important? Well, John 13, verse 34 and 35 says this. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. This is what Jesus is telling us. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You want people to know you're a Christian? Love your brothers and sisters. I don't know how many times I've heard it. People can past, and they love to talk to pastors because they think that they're getting counseling. But all they're really doing is complaining about someone else in the church. Pastor, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Yeah, go fix it. Again, they're keeping record of being wronged. And hey, maybe that person did something that was wronged. That was a wrongdoing to them. But rather than loving that person and going to that person and fixing the situation, we just go and gossip to someone else in the family about it. What's worse is when we go to our non-Christian friends whining about something someone in the church did to. That doesn't show love. And that doesn't show them Christ. How will they know? Because we love. We sang earlier, came to my rescue, and that little bridge says, in my life be lifted high. In our world be lifted high. The key to that is the next verse, in our love be lifted high. Christ isn't going to be lifted high in the world, folks, if we aren't loving. And again, remember, I'm not talking about just accepting everything here. But we need to love. And until someone knows we love them, we can't help them. First Thessalonians reminds us about this as well in chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows." Christ is, we're being told here, let your love overflow into people's lives the same way God's love overflowed into your life. That's a lot of work. But we're told that if we don't love one another, the world's not going to see Jesus. We often ask, why is the church shrinking in the Western world? Guess what? It's because we don't love each other. Why do people not come to church? Oh, I come to church once a month because I've got this and that and this other reason. No, we don't come to church because we don't feel it's doing anything for us, because we're not loving each other. And I'm not pointing here at Highway. I'm talking to the church in general, as a whole. Mainly the Western church. Because we're all about ourselves. Next question for you is, do you love your neighbor? Do you truly love your neighbor? And we are told later, who is my neighbor? Everyone. Everyone you come in contact with is your neighbor. And I notice if we flip back to Matthew chapter 22 and finish up that verse, it says, Jesus answered, the second is equally important. See, he says, first of all, the greatest commandment is love God. But the second is equally important. That doesn't make sense to me. If one's the greatest, how is the other equally important? Because they're both the greatest. It's a play on words. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. We need to love the people we come in contact with. We need to love everybody. We're not going to see anybody come to know Jesus if we hate them. If we don't show them that they're loved. I think that's pretty simple. But here goes one step further. Do you love your enemy? Do you love those who have done things that are evil against you? Things that are hurtful against you? Things that caused you to suffer? That's your enemy. The person who's out to get you. Do you love them? That coworker who's trying to get you fired? Or that coworker who wants your job and is chirping in your boss's ear? That prime minister who is so ungodly and so attacking the church? Or our premier? Those are not political statements, by the way. I'm not telling anybody how to vote. I'm just giving you my opinion on policies. Hope that's on tape, because I don't need to get in trouble with the government for that. But if that's my belief, I still need to love that person. Even when I feel they're attacking God's church. Doesn't mean I accept what they do. Doesn't mean I can't make a statement of what is wrong. But I need to love them. Pray for them. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27, it says this. But you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Wow, that's a mouthful in and of itself. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. And this does not mean, this is how I took this when I was younger and a young Christian. Okay, I've got two cheeks. You hit me the third time, I can punch you out. It's not what it means, because we talk about forgiveness being 70 times 7 a day. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. We need to love those people who we're in disagreement with. We need to love those people who are opposed to us. That's what's going to show Christ to people. And I got checked on this so hard Friday night. I left Zoom not feeling well, grumpy, screaming kids in the lobby. My head was going boom, boom, boom. Drove home only to find someone parked in my private parking spot at my house. So I went in the house. First of all, I blocked them in so they couldn't get out. Went in and asked my son and my mother how long they had been there. They said, oh, since about 7 o'clock. I said, oh, wonderful. And my first reaction was, where's my hammer? I seriously wanted to find my hammer and go smash their windows. Because that had just been done at our complex 2 nights earlier. No one would know it was me. God said, wait a minute. So I said, okay, God, I won't smash their windows, but can I at least let the air out of their tires? And again, I got a big fat no. So I said, okay. So I went and I grabbed a piece of paper and I started to write. And I no longer got the first letter out, and God stopped me and said, be nice. Be kind. At that point, that person was my enemy because I wanted my spot, because I wanted to go to bed. So I wrote a very nice letter. Please understand that this is a private parking spot. Do not park in it again, please, because we could have you towed. I chose not to. Blah, blah, blah. Left it on their windshield. Moved my car so they could get out without having to come knock on my door, because God told me to do that as well. Then at 12:30, when they finally left, I got up out of bed and went out and moved my car into my spot. That's, again, nothing great about me, but at that moment, that was my enemy. I wanted to, everything in me as a person wanted to take a hammer to their windows. But that's not what God would want. It's not what he desires from us. I could have wrote a nasty note. That wasn't what God would want neither. So I have to learn too. I'm not pointing fingers at anything I say today. We need to learn to love our God. We need to learn to love our brothers and sisters here and in churches all around us. We need to learn to love our neighbors. And we need to learn to love our enemies. And you say, well, okay, Pastor Paul, at the start of this, you said you had to do this because of communion. Why? Well, if we look at the communion passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 17, skip the communion part because we're going to get to that in a minute. But it says this, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you have good God's approval will be recognized. Yeah, there's divisions because some aren't Christians in the church, is what he's saying. But the divisions aren't good when it's brother to brother. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. As a result, some get hungry while others get drunk. That's wonderful. Get drunk in church. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. That's what was going on in the church in Corinth. They were thinking about themselves and only themselves. If we skip down to verse 27, it says, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. We're told when we come to communion to examine ourselves. And for years, I've heard this preached over. This is about examining sin in your life. That's not contextual. In context, we're to examine our relationships with one another. We're sinning against the body of Christ, the church. If we look at the original Greek word there, the sin isn't against God, it's against each other. And then we carry that forward. We're to love our neighbors and our enemies the same way we love our church family. So by extension, what we need to be examining as we take part in communion is, how do I love? And who do I love? Do I love myself first and foremost? That's really what was going on here in Corinth. They loved themselves, which should prove they didn't love God, didn't love each other, didn't love their neighbor, didn't love their enemy. So as we go to communion today, my encouragement is, let's examine ourselves. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't say there, don't take communion. When we examine ourselves, if there's something we need to repent of, we repent of it. Doesn't mean you can't participate in communion. It means we're to examine ourselves and get ourselves right in the right place. So let's examine ourselves today. Let's examine our lives today. Let's examine whether we are people of love. If we need to repent today, let us repent now. If we need God's help to love those around, he's put around us, let us ask for it now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you today that you loved us so much that when we were opposed to you, you came and died for our sins. You came and died in our place because of your love for us. So Lord, help us to love you in return that same way. Help us to love our church family the same way. Help us to love our neighbors and even our enemies as you love us. Lord, we can't do that without your help. So Lord, may you be our strength in that. May you be the one who helps us, reminds us, speaks to us when we're being unloving. And Lord, as we love, may many, many, many come to know you because they experience your love through us. Lord, may the lost see you, Jesus, in us, your people, and may they know you because they feel your love flowing through us. Speak into each of our hearts right now as we prepare to share at your table. In Jesus' name.